guitar.
It's game time.
Quiet, please. I am analyzing.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Is the next step the transplantation of the human brain?
Ballsy. Stupid, but ballsy.
Stand by for action.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Okay.
Remember, we're not dealing with an intelligence on our own level.
Bring in the logic probe!
Ooh! End of line.
Welcome back to the Gamers Haven podcast. We are... Episode 54. Because we skipped 52, which was the best episode ever.
I bet we lost it.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, we didn't lose it. I just decided if we released that, we'd be releasing the best episode ever. And then no one would ever need to listen to us again, so we're not going to release it.
Yeah, could be.
I think it's safe. Utter silence. Well, today on the show, we're going to make an attempt to talk a bit about gaming addictions. Sort of getting addicted to a game, dealing with players that get addicted to a game, that sort of thing.
Jeremy's had some experience with the player addicted to a character in his game.
Yeah.
I have not had the luxury of having that happen.
But we'll get to that. In the meantime, it's been a little while since we recorded, actually since CantCon, which was as far as I know, a resounding success, and next year will be CantCon 2, and eyeing July for that, so...
Yes, this time it's personal.
Yes, this time it's personal, the revenge.
Yeah. And CantCon 3 will be bigger, larger, and uncut.
Yes, bigger, longer, and uncut. I've started school back up, and so that's eating up my time again.
I just finished my first session of school, got a 95% in the class.
Go Nathan.
It was Windows Server 2003. I can do that thing in my sleep. I work on it every day.
There you go.
It was nothing. And actually, the funny thing was I didn't study for the final at all, and on the written part, I still got 88%.
Nice.
I went over the questions like the half hour before class started.
Yes, Jeremy's been working a lot. Apparently, he's been having a crazy month. That's what he does. He works, breathes, and apparently is a Lego master. Oh, and he was, and our friend Nick got married.
Hooray! Go Nick!
So, yes. Oh, and we are recording this on September 2nd, which is, incidentally, Nathan's birthday.
Which is, incidentally, one day after
Jeremy's birthday. Yes.
So, everybody give a shout-out. Happy birthday to Jeremy.
Yes. Nathan has 1 year left before renewal and carousel, and Jeremy is officially a runner as of today, so...
I'm gonna drive.
He doesn't run, he drives.
There is no sanctuary.
Only Zool. Happy birthday to you both. My birthday's not until December, so.
Yes, my birthday is one of those ones that sucks.
Well, no.
Well,
for other people, yes.
You have to admit that a lot of people bought you a gift and said, well, this is your Christmas present and your birthday.
My family was very careful not to do that. So, it only ever happened once, and that was when I got a camcorder. It was a camcorder.
Yeah.
I remember that because my dad was in the hospital with pneumonia that year.
Yeah. You're also very, very hard to buy anything for because it's like, oh, Ethan will like that. I already bought that.
Yeah, I'm a jackass like that and a completist.
Yeah, you're the same thing as me. If there's something you want, you can buy it.
Ooh, shiny. But I got you the Stars Are Right from Steve Jackson Games. So, it looks
interesting. Illustrated by Gumi. I'm kind of sad by that. I thought it was John Kowalik at first. I was hoping it was John Kowalik because I like his artwork.
And Jeremy got the Manual of the Planes, so he can be all planner and stuff. It was Tabletop's last copy, by the way.
Yeah, cool. I got their last copies of Earthdawn for that week.
Well, we'll be back right after this.
The newest releases at RPG Now. Only at RPG Now can you get the absolute latest and best releases from fantastic publishers like Palladium Books and White Wolf Publishing. There are new products every single day. Come to RPGNow.com and get them the instant they're available.
Gamers Haven and the Vorpal Network, in association with Pinnacle Entertainment Group, present A Thousand Monkeys Production.
Deadlands. Enough room to die.
An actual play recording of Deadlands Reloaded. Available for download at www.CanadianCrusaders.com.
This is the Vorpal Network.
Okay, we got into a brief discussion here about cross-licensing. Dude, they're making an Asteroids movie.
How? It's just a triangle shooting chunky circles.
That yep. is awesome.
They're making a movie based on Asteroids.
Oh, please.
Horrible, but awesome.
Before they make a movie
I'm wondering when they're going to make one based on Pong, myself. At this point, you know? I think it would be a comeback for Uwe Boll.
No, nothing will bring him back.
That is correct. Because I'm sure it would have boobs and aliens, and it would be really, really bad. Yeah. But, you know, maybe they'd bring Marlon Brando back from the dead and he'd be in it, since Ben Kingsley decided to do, you know, Blood Rain.
As long as he didn't have boobs.
Well, you know, he could phone it in.
All I have to say is that...
But yes, Asteroids the movie.
Before they release an Asteroids the movie, they need to release the last Starfighter the arcade game.
Yeah. Last Starfighter.
Did you ever see that? It was completed. The actual game was completed.
I love The Last
And it was cancelled at the last minute. But it was awesome because I saw promotions for the console, the actual cabinet, the console cabinet, online for it. It looked like right out of the movie.
Sweet. Anyway, today we are talking about gaming addiction. So this might not be a very long discussion, but we do have some other stuff to sort of go into.
Yeah.
Gaming addictions, and I think we can even spread it out not only to RPGs, but also online games especially.
Online games, video game consoles, PC games. Uh-huh. Pretty much anything that's a game can have a form of addiction to it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's a chemoneurological, is that what they call it?
Chemoneurological, yes.
Response. It's something to do with actually playing video games, somewhere in some survey somewhere, you know, written by someone trying to show that video games are bad. Shows that there's a chemoneurological response that actually it makes you feel good to play video games, and the body's reaction to anything that makes you feel good is to do it more often.
And now, anyone who's addicted to playing like Call of Cthulhu is obviously, by definition, insane.
Well, not just that, but they're also masochists? People enjoy.
Say, well, it depends on if you're the GM.
Like, well, if you're the GM,
you're a sadist.
Yeah, but if you're a player,
but I'm a sadist. So, I mean,
yeah.
According to the emails we got, yeah. I'm a sadist. So,
yeah, but they have to be careful because some specialists are like, well, if you all you do is gaming, then you're addicted. Well, no.
Well, that goes into the social stigma that sort of comes with gaming from the whole Steam Tunnel incident that was, you know, 25 years ago now.
Yeah, but it's still. I mean, I'm looking at some of the stuff just online right now.
Yeah,
look at a gaming addiction. And you're okay, it's like some of this stuff is...
Well, do you think it's totally gaming addiction for things like World of Warcraft and online games like that? Is that more accepted than a gaming addiction to D&D?
No, they both have
I would think that tabletop stuff would get you even more misunderstood.
Well, I think tabletop games are misunderstood, especially when it comes to an addiction to them. I mean, we know someone who has an addiction to them. I won't name the person's name, but they game 5 times a week. I mean, they put aside school and everything else to play tabletop games. That goes a little above and beyond what
that is. That is a bit much, yes.
I play once a week and that stuff.
I think to outside people...
I sometimes play twice a week, but I mean...
I think it's
school permitting at this point, you know.
I think it's based on the pity level. Like, to a lot of people, it's more pitiful for someone to be addicted to a board, like a RPG,
a tabletop.
Know, tabletop, than to a video game.
Kind of gets me some Axis and Allies.
But would I lose my job over Axis and Allies? No.
But I don't think any of us would do that.
Job over World of Warcraft all the time.
If I want, would I lose my job?
I'm sure there are people. Smurf. Call in sick and you know, don't come in because they're... I know what happened when I worked out there.
Yeah. That guy came in like 2 hours late because he's in the middle of a raid.
Smurf.
We can't use the word?
Smurf.
Okay.
We'll go ahead and smurf it out.
Okay.
There's three out. But it happened in the past. That guy came in like several hours late because he was caught in the middle of a raid when he was supposed to come to work. And so he finished the raid before coming to work.
But now, there is a difference though. Is that just because he really, really wanted to finish the raid? Or was he actually addicted? Because if you are... There's people that will skip work because of golf.
Yeah.
They really like golf. It's not because they're addicted. There are people that skip it for a baseball game. Anything. So really, the addiction comes down to how much harm it does.
I think the actual definition for an addiction is... when you do something that may cause harm to yourself or causes you to disregard base or required needs. Base and required needs would be food, shelter, you know, the ability to, you know, waste elimination, and, you know, work is a required need. So when you abstain from those two things, that could be classified as an addiction.
Well, it could be, but it could also just be decide to take a personal day.
Alright. It is the state of being enslaved to a habit or practice or to something that is psychologically or physically habit-forming as narcotics to such an extent that its cessation causes severe trauma.
Well, that doesn't sound like any of the role-playing games or video games I play.
Yes, well, I think to be susceptible to addiction you have to be a certain personality type. But, I mean, we've had... Have you guys had players before that were absolutely addicted to your games?
I haven't, but I play such whimsical, lighthearted games aside from the Call of Cthulhu games, which run a little bit darker, but nowhere near as dark as I have in the past because of the nightmare thing with two of the players, so... But no, I haven't had any players addicted to my games. I do recall a player that I gamed with in Jeremy's game that was addicted and got so mad when their character died, but... The character got brought back, but they spent the rest
we'll call
of the game
this person
Bob.
Bob.
Yeah. Bob yes. got so mad that his character got killed that everybody went out of their way to resurrect this character after the body got dumped in a ditch and completely robbed and stuff. And after that, the person, Bob, when he came back with his character, made like every attempt to get his character killed again. Afterwards.
Well, there was...
Because they threw a fit.
There was... an unnatural attachment to a character, which was a problem because obviously the character didn't exist.
Right.
Going so far as having...
But we're talking like Dark Dungeon stuff.
We're talking...
But not quite to that level of, oh no, they killed Blackleaf.
Yeah, I'm not going to commit suicide, but is going to drop into a funk.
And, like, not talk to you outside of the game because he's mad because you killed the
character.
Or
because the game doesn't follow the way they thought it should be. And also going so far as always having the character with them. Always.
I'm just
always having, you know, there reaches a point where you don't need to have a dice set.
Right.
You shouldn't... There reaches a point where drop it if at the drop of a hat you could play the game.
Mm-hmm.
Might be a little too much.
That went too much.
When you... And we're talking like everything. Or where it was kind of painful to try to get the person to actually want to do other things. And then even on those things there would be an addictive quality about the various items, whether it would be an anime, things like that. And trying to get other games would just be difficult to actually do that. And then having other players later on feeding into that addiction...
either intentionally or unintentionally.
Well, the one I'm thinking about right now, though,
is
an intentional manipulation of a, and I hate using this word flawed, but a flawed personality in a certain way. Not a bad person, just...
They exploited it.
There was... It's like anything. There are certain personalities that really should not do certain things, because if they do whatever that certain thing is, they cannot stop. And when the, like, missing a job so much that you lose a job, or spending all your money just on that, and not enjoying.
I'm happy to say I never missed work because of gaming.
Gaming is a hobby to us, though.
Yes.
And just because there's a difference between having an obsession. Because really, if I was filthy rich, between taking the various cruises and, you know, building various castles and crazy things like that, I would be gaming most of the time.
Yeah.
Because it's a hobby of mine. But I would also do other things.
Yeah, but when you're filthy rich and you don't have to work, and you've got a lot of time that you can spend on your hobbies.
Right. But I'd also visit friends and family, stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
It's okay to be slightly obsessed with something, as long as it doesn't get to the point
where it interferes
with your actual life. So, unfortunately, and we had a long going campaign, and the character interaction was great until it got to the point where the individual was just too... The character became real.
Mm-hmm.
I really believe that the person, in a lot of ways, thought the character was real. And it wasn't just role-playing at that point. It really was a problem. And when the game started to fall apart, or we went on to different games, and things wouldn't work out, that was when the person became destructive. Or even so much to say that, well, this is what is going to occur after the game is over. Oh, well, I need to do this to save my character. Well, we're not playing.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going back to that again.
Or, you know, it was kind of a creepy thing.
It got to the point almost where when he was playing the game, he wasn't Bob anymore. He was the character. It was almost like he had a disassociative identity disorder.
And at first, we just thought it was just very cool role-playing. I mean, as kids, you do that.
Yeah.
And even as teenagers, you have enough angst and stuff that your role-playing is up there. And
yeah.
I mean, there's probably some actors like that that can do that, and that's great. But
as you get older, you begin to realize, you see that it's like as we progressed in the game. I mean, it went from when I was 18 when we started it, and I was 20 when I stopped. And I know it was still going. By the time I hit 20, two new people had added, and one person dropped. The thing was, the two new people were very heavily playing off of this other person's flaw, and it got to the point where I was seeing things that I didn't like. And I had so much else going on in my life, I decided it would be a good idea to bow out at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like how things were going. And, yeah, it was really creepy there. You know, I just...
Well, and it got into other games, too.
Yeah.
Where, like, the person's obsession would get into other games, so that the person's reactions were very self-destructive if things didn't go the way they thought they should go.
Throwing stuff.
I mean, hissy fits, or just, you know, taking it out on other people. So, it can be really scary. So, there are just certain personalities that...
Just shouldn't do things that...
There are certain things in life that certain personalities should not mess with. Those things are too much gaming... possibly even religion, a cult,
mm-hmm.
you know, things like that. Where
sex, drinking,
I mean, there are certain personalities
abuse.
Where you're just like, whatever your beliefs are, the personality is so
addictive. It's an
addictive
personality,
and they each have their own drug. And gaming can be like anything.
Yeah. I mean, and the scary thing is a lot of people will sit there and try to tell you that gaming addiction isn't real. There's some scary evidence to back it up. I mean,
oh, yeah.
It was last year that gentleman in China on it was I think it was a Chinese national holiday.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember how many days it was, but he died while playing World of Warcraft online because he didn't get up, he didn't go to sleep, he didn't use the restroom or anything, and he played for like 2 days straight. I don't know how he did it, but he killed himself over it. I mean, that's an addiction, people. You may not hear about that happening in role-playing games, but that's because, you know,
mm-hmm.
with a GM, GM's going to go, I'm tired, go away.
Yeah,
go
there's home. That, and 99.999% of the time, the people playing RPGs, playing tabletop games, actually are sane people, and aren't going to do that.
But,
I mean, we're talking about, right now, we're talking about this gaming addiction thing, which is, you know, I mean, a very small, tiny, tiny percentage of the gaming community out there. But it's the part you hear about.
Well, yeah, because the thing is, this is the funny thing. You know, you always hear about, you know, people say, oh, this proves my theory that the majority of people are stupid.
Uh-huh.
No, the average person is average. The reason why you don't hear about the average person is because they keep their head down and they don't do anything bad. What you hear about are the incredibly brilliant people and the incredibly stupid people because they draw the most attention to themselves because they're at opposite polar ends. They're away from the average, so they stick out. And the thing is, it's the same thing with this. And on top of that, there's still that whole stigma that gaming is a bad thing. So anything that draws a negative light to gaming in any way, shape, or form seems to be picked up on and just plastered everywhere to show everybody, see, gaming is bad. Gaming does terrible things to people. Look what it's doing to our youth.
Uh-huh.
Well, football's bad, too. Look at how many broken bones, how many people break their necks playing football. You don't hear
about
football.
How many altercations have come out of, you know, two football fans arguing with each other, that sort of thing.
How many people
have
been shot and killed because of altercations at sports games?
Totally.
I mean, think about it in Britain. I know this is very disturbing, and if you want to edit this part out, there was an English football game where the English football hooligans got in a fight, and one of the football hooligans grabbed one of the other guys and sucked the guy's eyeball out of his head.
Yep.
He picked him up at a restaurant down the street, and he was still covered from his chin all the way down his shirt with blood.
Yep.
I have no idea what happened to the eyeball, but...
I don't think we want to know.
No, but the thing is people do stupid
stuff. Yeah, I'm sure he did.
People do stupid stuff for the things that they're addicted to. And the thing is unlike what a lot of people will try to tell you, people can be addicted to pretty much anything.
Oh, yeah.
But then there's also, again, it's okay to really like something.
Yeah.
Even if other people don't understand.
Like, anyone who's listening to the show knows we're big fans of gaming. We love gaming.
It's just gaming.
Obviously. We've done 54 episodes of loving gaming.
That reaches a point where your body has to sleep. I've had some
especially
nights,
when you get old, like us old fogies.
I've had some late nights where I was playing a video game going, I want to get to this park because it's awesome, and I'm like, I just gotta go to bed.
I will completely confess that, you know, there were times when, you know, when I was younger, when it was like, okay, I'm sitting there playing Final Fantasy VII, I'm like, okay, I just gotta get to the next save point. Right. Oh, crap, it's 6 a.m. I need to go to sleep.
Right. And there's really nothing wrong with that as long as it doesn't become...
I've never gotten to the 6 a.m. thing. I've gotten to the whole, crap, it's 4 a.m.
Yeah, I've done... Yeah.
I played the first Silent Hill from 2 p.m. to 4 a.m.
That you beat
through, it. Through, because I had to beat the thing, because I couldn't go to sleep.
Well,
it's like, no, this game is too freaky. I have to finish it so I can go to bed.
That say things like, remember, you have to sleep.
Yes.
Or remember, in the real world, you have to eat. Like, occasionally, WoW would say things like that.
Yeah.
Well, it's...
You know, the Warcraft has messages to pop up. Remember, at least every 2 hours, you need to get up and stand up and move around vigorously.
Get the blood, get your blood flowing, that sort of thing.
Type thing. Or,
well, it's becoming a problem, you know?
Well,
I mean,
it is.
I think it boils down to sheer numbers, where you have, you know, 16-17 million people who play World of Warcraft. You don't have that many people who play, RPGs and tabletop games.
On a regular basis,
I should say. At least not for, you know, 40 hours straight.
That's what the problem is going... I mean, it's not going to get any better. At some point, we're going to have virtual reality.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's Matrix virtual reality, the first person that jacks into that, if they even have a slightly addicted personality, it's all over. You're gonna have people that are just
gonna waste away.
All they
away.
Do is, they just plug themselves in
yep.
and drool and waste away. and maybe we'll plug in those people in and use them as batteries.
What's the name of that movie that's coming out with Bruce Willis in it?
The Surrogates.
Yeah. That's what that reminds me of. Nobody actually uses their real body.
Yes,
they all
use
stay
robots.
At home, they lay in chairs and use robots.
It looks interesting. It looks really good. But it is that sort of mentality. Yes, yeah. It's that addictive mentality of, you know, and really it's a form of escapism, and I could see it, you know, really we've been talking about how what it is, what can we do as GMs to, you know, to try to make it not happen or try to at least curb that behavior
depends on how bad it is. Sometimes,
pick up on the warning signs type of thing.
Sometimes you just have to cut the person off.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just have to say, you know what, we're done. You got to go.
It's like you are getting way too into this.
Yeah. Now, there is those times where maybe you misunderstand, but if we're talking like a long-term thing.
Yeah.
If they show up to the game session six or seven times, and they're the same way, and just causing like a train wreck in a game, then it's time to either distance yourself from the person or get them out of the game.
Where it's the person is not able to do things like, as we said, do other stuff, go to movies, you know, talk to their family members.
Let's see, like, hey, do you guys want to come hang out? Are we not going to game?
Yeah, that question.
Yeah.
Are you asked too many times?
Yes, if you have people who, I mean, if you're getting together and you're socializing is your gaming, that's fine, but if that is what it has to be every time for this person, then that person has a problem.
And if they get mean, if things aren't going the way they are, because I mean I gotta admit, most social interactions where we just stand around and talk bore the hell out of me.
Unless we're talking about Ewoks carrying you around on a palanquin, and
that's different.
You know, force powers and how you know you.
Unless we're having a cool conversation.
Yeah, those are cool conversations.
But just standing around at a party where there's nothing going on except maybe some food.
Yes,
that's boring.
You looked like you were thrilled at the wedding. So.
I was thrilled to be there and support my friend.
As was I, but notice that I mean we spent our time talking to each other,
right?
Or to John.
In case you guys don't know, I don't know Nick very well, so I wasn't invited to his wedding.
So would
I've
I
only
rather
met Nick once?
Would I rather throw down a something like a card game or something? Yes,
that's why everybody loved our wedding. There were card games on the table.
Uh-huh. But can I go to a social place? Yeah, I can. But
yeah, I think it's very typical of, I think, most gamers anyway. I mean, there are some that adapt to social situations a lot more, but who don't go to bars, don't get that whole socialization in.
It's not something that we're interested in. I would rather sit at home with a normal, just even a fiction or a nonfiction book. I would rather sit at home and read a book than go to a bar and get fit chased.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no appeal to that.
It's never appealed to me.
I want to drink, I can drink at home. I can do it in the safe of my home. If I get drunk, I don't have to worry about having to stagger down the staircase and puke in some stairwell somewhere.
Here's the first U.S. gaming addiction clinic opens. Internet gaming and texting addicts can now receive a 45-day treatment and rural detox clinic for $14,000.
Yep. That's capitalism.
You know, the first step of curing addiction is admitting you have one.
Nope.
I could detox somebody for
$14,000.
Hell, I'd do it for $7,000.
Yeah. I'd do it for $13,999.95.
I can stick an exercise bike down there in a bucket and be like,
No, you don't need a bucket. You have a sump pump.
That's true, but I'd rather they not use the sump pump. We'll use the bucket. And then they have to dump out their own bucket. It's part of the detox. And after the 5-day program, they'll be fine. You stink. Go home. Picks out. You're fine. Pick two of these in the morning.
No, Jeremy, you're bad. We don't like you anymore.
$14,000.
Jesus.
Yeah.
What's funny is that in some places in China, there's mandatory gaming clinics.
Yep.
Yeah, January 6, 2009, the Christian Science Monitor recently visited Beijing's Internet Addiction Center to talk to the docs and addicts about the issue of gaming addiction.
Yeah, it's mandatory. If you get told to go there in China, you have to go.
Yeah, most of that is video games. But video games play on a different level of...
A different level of interactivity. I think fundamentally, if you're playing a tabletop game like D&D or a board game to an extent, but really more like an RPG tabletop thing, is you're using parts of your brain that you're not using when you're playing a video game. I mean, you're using creative juices in your brain that, you know, you don't need to imagine things when you're sitting there in front of a computer screen. It's all being presented to you. You're reacting.
But see, the thing is that's the way contemporary current video games are. Mm-hmm. The thing is you know as well as I do that most of the video games that I play are all old as the hills and twice as ugly. You know,
yes.
Eight colors on the screen, and you know, you have to use your imagination, and you have to use your brain to think your way through the puzzles. That's the type of games
We also don't think of those. We also don't think of those as, you know, essential to our life. You know, no. As they are, they're a distraction. They're an escapist. They're an escapist action of ours. I mean, it's something we do to unwind.
Yeah.
You know, just like, you know, tabletop gaming is to an extent.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, a video game is just much easier to sit down and sit down and get into, whereas a tabletop game is a lot harder to do that.
Well, it depends on how old the video game is.
That is true.
It might not be that easy to get into.
Well, also with the tabletop, you've got other people around.
Yeah. I mean, you're at least having that social interaction.
It's a lot harder to screw over a fellow player than it is some...
Well, it's the whole concept of...
nameless, faceless, and the game.
Right. It's the whole concept of road rage versus sidewalk rage. Is the reason we don't have sidewalk rage is because, you know, you have that face-to-face interaction with people, and there's those micro-expressions and those very, very quick interactions of, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to bump into you there. You see it, there's that recognition, whereas in a car, that mother smurfer just cut me off, you know?
Right. Whereas that mother smurfer might be looking in the rearview mirror going, oh, smurf, I didn't see that person there.
Yeah.
They were in my
But
blind
you don't
spot.
Know that.
Well, that's why... Yeah,
no, see,
that's going to happen a lot more with online games.
I really have trouble with...
That guy just stole my kill. That
doesn't happen anymore because they've got fixing that. But yeah, that was a common
thing.
That's
why I really have trouble with people or games that are so focused on player versus player.
Uh-huh.
I don't mind having player versus player, but I don't like it where it's focused on player versus player because
it
some
people
be a get so messed
right.
up. Now, one of the coolest things I've ever seen is some freaking horde, and it could have been on the other side too, but some freaking horde picking on this one person, and then suddenly
a bunch of
Alliance people show up and kick his ass and say, "Look,
yeah.
stop doing that type of thing."
Yeah,
you know?
I was in a guild, we had to fight our way past a guard. This guard attacked us. In one of the areas, and we killed the guard because the guard was a level, and we went down, and this level 70 just suddenly started coming and attacking. It was my wife and I, kept killing us, so I called the guild members, and we had like 15 level 70s. They all showed up and started stomping the hell out of the guy. They killed him like 12 times in a row. He'd pop up and grab his body, they'd kill him. He'd pop up and grab his body, they'd kill him. He'd pop back up at the res point, they went over there and they killed him.
But there's no
they did not give him a moment of
there's
peace.
There's no connection between, you know, the mean-spirited individual that just wants to, you know, basically destroy somebody else's
fun time.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Like, that's why I'm worried about any true virtual reality. Think about
a violent
game like that where it's player versus player, and they don't have controls on that. Somebody could get totally fried.
Yeah.
I mean, how...
I don't want my brain melting.
Yeah,
no.
I don't either.
Well,
see,
the first person who plugs himself in is going to get fried.
Oh, yeah.
I've already...
That's not going to be me.
I already know that one.
It's not going to be me either. I like the idea of virtual reality, but I'm not jacking in first.
Well, I wouldn't want to be... I would rather have my virtual reality be slightly crappy and just have, like, a hat or something.
The helmet.
And be one of the guy
helmet.
Who's like, "Church!" And it goes in your head, because that's messed up.
Smurf.
Unless I'm going to download myself into the computer.
The neural jacks I talk about actually set in the front of your head. You jack
it's
it in the front
creepy.
Of your temporal lobe. Yeah, no, I know. I'm not going to be... You know, if it becomes a requirement that we have to have these neural implants to be able to jack in to do various things, I'll do it. But the thing is I'm not going to be in the first run of that. Because as we know, those of us who work with computers regularly, first generation of technology sucks.
I will not be connected to the internet in any way that I cannot unplug. And
yes.
I will not have something in my head that can basically...
Try to control you.
Yeah. I will not do it. I refuse.
That's one of those reasons why I'm not interested in the whole World Bank thing with the chit. You know,
mm-hmm.
they put under the skin either on your hand or your forehead.
It's easier, but there's something really nice with money.
Well, it's not just the money thing. My problem is this. You have one world central bank. We can't even keep our individual banks spread across the world safe from hackers. How are we going to keep one centrally located, one bank for the whole world safe from hackers? I'm sorry. It can't be done. I'm not putting my money in the hands of a bunch of people that can't, you know, can't keep individual entities safe. I'm not going to put all the money in one place.
That. There was a movie where we had space travel, and at some point the hacking became such a problem, they said screw it and went back to money. So they had this ship shipping like gold and money across like the solar system to this other bank, and this guy was going to rob it basically because there was too many hackers.
Yeah.
Sounds like a sci-fi original movie.
Actually, wasn't too bad.
Well, some of the sci-fi original movies aren't bad. Some.
Well, we're reaching the half-hour mark on our discussion, so we should wrap this up a little bit.
I don't think there's really much else we can talk about. I mean, gaming addiction is one of those things. If you notice it, take steps that you can do
if you can, to
help prevent it or to help with it. If there's nothing you can do, talk to the person. Let them know what your feelings are.
Mm-hmm.
Let them know what it is that's
never
forget
to talk to the other players, too.
Yeah, because the other players might not see it as that as such.
Well, yeah, and the person could just be a really good actor, but you're going to see other signs outside.
Yeah, there's going to be very obvious signs.
Like if you invite them over and they say, "Are we going to game?" That's boom.
And there's a difference between looking forward to the game and I must game.
Yeah,
there's differences there.
As much as I love the game, as you all know from listening to live feeds, I haven't made it to a Deadlands game in months because I'm always sick.
You know? Yes, we got emails about that.
Yeah, I know. People are like, "You need to come back. We miss you." It's like I understand that, but I'm sick. I can't drive when I can't. Right.
This is why Connor decided to give $600 to him.
Yeah. That was the last of my money, too.
Yep.
It was the last of all of our money. Because I got robbed.
Yep.
And I got shot in the head.
You got shot in the head and robbed.
Stuff. Yeah. So we needed food.
Yes. But anyway, we will be back right after this.
Stop by. I'm Sir Hercule Gaston. If you'd like a PDF for your lovely RPG collection, go to rpgnow.com. Don't just go there. Go there now. Or go there through canadiancrusaders.com or vorpalnetbook.com. What affiliates you know. It's absolutely smashing. Cheerio!
And we are back, and today on the lovely three-parter, I've got a rant. Nathan's, actually really all of us are going to talk about really what we're into right now, and Jeremy's got a review. So we're going to go ahead and kick this off with my lovely rant.
The rant.
My rant today, I've ranted on it before, but I was listening to some of the CantCon actual play, and we have one specific player, whom I will not name, who is not at this table, who has the habit of metagaming in horrible, horrible ways. And I've ranted on metagaming before, but one thing that it drives me up the bloody wall is... if you have a player who's more familiar with the system than not only the GM but the other players, who sort of then decides that he's going to run everyone else's character for them,
railroads the whole game.
Really annoys me and is always correcting the GM. I'm going to say, if you're a player, don't correct the GM. If you're a player in my game and you correct me and do it in a stupid way, I'm going to have a comet fall on you. And if you're lucky, it will just be your character that dies. I am... metagaming annoys the hell out of me. It really does. I can't stand it when a player uses out-of-character knowledge to influence their decision in a game. And it most often happens in D&D, although it does happen in other games, but I think most often it happens there. And it just drives me up the bloody wall. I can't stand it when, you know, you have a player that says, oh, I know what the stats on this monster are, so we need to do fire damage. Or they make decisions for their characters to say, well, I should do this kind of damage type because things are less there are a lot less things that are resistant to it. It's choices like that I think are just fundamentally wrong in a game and drive me crazy. I can't stand it. I hate it.
I don't blame you. I was lucky. I don't think I got anybody that was metagaming in my games. But the fact of the matter is, it's like with the Shadowrun game. The Shadowrun game was really borked because I'd read the rules.
We had a bunch of new players with it, so.
I read the rules, but I didn't have the rules down pat. Like, I didn't use the massive failure dice where if you rolled a one, it actually removed one of your successes.
Yeah.
I used it on the bad guys because that's what I read in the book. I didn't realize it went both ways. So I screwed up a bunch in that game, but the thing was, all I cared about was that the gamers had a good time.
Yeah.
And Call of Cthulhu, the thing was, is there was no way to metagame. No one knew what they were up against. So I didn't have to worry about that. But I did listen in on another game that was going on near the Shadowrun game, and apparently there was some metagaming going on there.
Yes.
Apparently. And I did.
That was one of the ones I listened to.
I did catch bits of it, but not knowing the system, you know, I didn't really pick up on it really right off the bat. But the GM didn't seem too disturbed about it, they're very strict.
It's up to the GM ultimately. Me, this is entirely, you know, my personal feelings is I absolutely hate it, and if players do that at my table, I'm more liable to bludgeon them to death with their own shoes. So
you know how I deal with metagaming in my game. Oh, it's a hobgoblin. Did I say it was a hobgoblin?
Yeah.
No, it's not a hobgoblin. And they're usually the first ones to get stomped in the fight.
Yeah.
It's like...
Yeah. Anyway.
Now, I will say, though, as long as the GM is allowing the character skills to function, because on the other
that's
side of things...
No, that's fine.
And when they say, can I make a knowledge check on this?
But I get annoyed with the player who automatically assumes it is...
Right.
His character knows this stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, not necessarily.
That's true.
It's like, or says things like, well, I should be able to make a check for this. It's like, really? Are you GMing this game?
It should be. The statement should be, can I make a check?
Yes.
You never say, I should be able to make a check for this if you're the player, because that's going to bring down the wrath of the GM on
it. It's like, well, enough time's gone by, I should be able to make a save against that. No, you make a save against that when I tell you can make a save against that. It's that behavior that annoys the hell out of me. So,
yeah, I don't blame you.
That's my lovely rant, and we're moving on. What we're into. And we are back, and Nathan is introducing
new
segment
concept.
Here.
We're going to do something called What We're Into, and it's just kind of a beta name because I don't really have a good name for it yet. But what this section is actually, we're going to talk a little bit about what kind of swag, what kind of books we're up to, what information we're reading into, what game systems.
What we're looking forward to reading,
what we're interested in getting a chance to play, stuff like that. I'll go ahead and start it off. I got paid for a bunch of computer work I did, a lot of computer work that I did. I got a $3,000 check. So I went hog wild, bought a bunch of stuff I wanted. I was at the game store, and I was picking up the 4th Ed Player's Handbook 1, because I'm going to read through it.
We are slowly poisoning his mind.
I'm gonna try playing a game. I still have my reservations. I'll see. I hear it works a lot better when you see it and play. But while I was there, they had the New Earth Dawn 3rd Edition books. So I picked them up. Then I had to pick up a battle map. Then I had to pick up, more stuff for Savage Worlds, which I don't actually have out here. I picked up the Ripper's book, which I am not impressed with. I don't even want to see the Necessary Evil book, although I am digging. I've read completely through the Savage Worlds Pocket Explorers.
That's all you need.
The core rules, yeah.
Yes, that's all you need.
Yeah.
They're solid.
Yeah.
They're great.
The system is incredibly harsh on players.
Obviously, I've introduced you guys to it. Jeremy's bought one. No, you bought one, and Eric just bought one.
I didn't buy one.
I think Ben bought one. That's right. You got one at KCon.
Because Ben wants to do a G.I. Joe.
Yes, and I think John is going to get one, too.
Yeah, because he's going to do a short D&D.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's a solid system.
Yeah. Well, and it has, yeah, there's a bunch of good free
there's
ones on there.
And it's free scenarios.
And the Explorer's Edition is $10.
Yeah.
Full color. It's a pocket size. Great. $10. Yeah. Brilliant buy.
That's one of the only problems I have with the Earthdawn books is that I think they were $40 a piece and they're black and white. But the thing is it is a very small publisher called Red Brick.
Yeah.
But the quality of the books is, the page quality is, the actual paper quality is very, very high. Mm-hmm. The covers are very nice. They're very professional looking. They have a wonderful map in the front of the book. My only problem is I'm reading through these books and I'm confused because I don't remember the original Earthdawn being so damn hard.
It's no, like, it was.
I never played Earthdawn.
You have an attribute value. That value creates a step. That step creates a dice type. I'm like...
No, it was. Huh?
I didn't remember that, but I'm looking at it going, it's been like, well, building the character's quick. I built a character in 45 minutes, which is a hell of a lot faster than I can say for Shadowrun. Because they start you off with a whole list of equipment going, this is what we start with.
Incidentally, Lone Wolf Publishing and Lone Wolf Development, people do Hero Lab, have a poll up on their site for what games that people want to see them support, and right now Shadowrun is leading. So, because yes, but God knows that character creation system needs some help.
Yeah, good God, yes.
I listened to the actual play, and it sounds like a solid system. It's just the character creation is ridiculous.
Yes, the character creation. For those of you who are wondering what we're talking about, when I ran Shadowrun for CantCon, I had 4 weeks to make characters. I had 8 characters planned. I only got 6 done in 4 weeks. It took 3 hours a character for Shadowrun.
They seemed like Palladium characters.
Anyone ever played Champions 4th Edition?
Yeah. It was horrible. It was god-awful. The problem was you have to micromanage every piece of equipment. Because every piece of equipment counts somewhere in the damn game. And it was like, oh my god. I got to the point where I decided that if I run Shadowrun again next year, I'm just using the pre-built templates. I'm not making characters. I'll just use what's in the book.
Yeah.
Screw it. But
unless Hero Lab starts to support it, then it'll be
awesome.
Or
you can run it. You could run it using Savage Worlds.
Hell yes, that's what I was thinking about
setting and just actually I'll look.
Yeah, well, I'm sure there is.
Honestly, what I was thinking about doing was using Savage Worlds.
SavageHeroes.com.
Because I was so frustrated because I screwed that system up. But the system itself is very, very solid.
You've also got the Deadlands Reloaded book now.
Yes, I have not had a chance to read that. I did open it up. It's a beautiful book.
Yes, it is.
Oh my god!
I just found out the GM screen is coming out this year too.
Hang on a second. I've got to go attack a killer cat.
That's fine. I have been
Savage Earthdawn.
Yes, Savage.
Savage Earthdawn.
Oh yeah,
check that out.
It's also Savage Warhammer and there's Savage everything. Should be Savage Shadowrun.
Yeah,
Savage Run. Yeah.
The character creation is not difficult. It's just it's confusing. The whole you get value, then you have a step value, which is related to that number value for the attribute. Then
right.
That step value generates the dice that you actually roll when you use that dice.
I think I might have been about to play an Earthdawn game at some point, and then I broke up with the whore.
Yeah. I still want to play a Savage Mushroom Kingdom.
That sounds
That'd be pretty
awesome.
Funny.
Yeah.
It is.
Pretty rocking.
Is it black and white? The rule set for that?
It's sure.
Do you have access to my printer?
Anyway, I am. I picked up a couple board games and whatnot. Like, I picked up Conquest of the Empire, which is a Roman conquest game in the Roman Civil War, and it's an old game from Milton Bradley, and Eagle Games has put it back out. And God, it weighs about 30 pounds, and could be used as a weapon of home defense or as a bulletproof shield in case of atomic war. It's really cool though. It's got like 400 little pieces in it, and has like gold and silver plastic coins in it and stuff. It's pretty sweet. I'm looking forward to trying that out. It's supposed to be like a 3-hour game though, so but like Axis and Allies. I also did manage to pick up the Battlestar Galactica game, and the expansion just came out today, so I picked that up. So the Pegasus expansion, because I really enjoyed the hell out of that game. Thought it was a lot of fun. RPG-wise, picked up the Deadlands books I didn't have, the Flood and Coffin Rock. And I picked up a bunch of the 4th Ed D&D books that I had neglected to purchase as well. So
yeah, I got a bunch of 4th Ed, 4th Ed D&D books from the KentCon.
Mm-hmm.
I got Player's Handbook 2 and several other ones which other people pawned off on me because I didn't have a use for them. So I've got actually I've got a nice little collection of 4th ed D&D
books.
Yes,
you do.
So I will have to use them. But what are you into, Jeremy?
I don't know.
What have you
been just got Manual of Planes.
Yes, he did.
I did.
You better not have that already or I'll kick you in the head.
I don't.
I seem to remember you saying you didn't have it, so.
No, I was going to pick it up.
Good thing you got to it first.
Let's see. Well, there's all the swag from CantCon.
No.
But other than that, I've mostly just been working. But I have been going through the Eberron campaign guide, which we'll talk about a little bit later.
He's going to review
that. We'll talk about here in a second.
Right. I've been working on a Lego Warhammer fantasy mix game because I want to.
We like Lego.
And I wanted something that...
I can just see it. Movement trays of the little green bases with like 20
Well, I wanted something
Lego
that could go directly from a fantasy to full-scale battle without any stopping. And
right.
I think I've gotten that.
Oh, you have?
Cool.
So there's still some work that needs to be done, and some of the rules for, like, hardcore rule lawyers, they'd be like, oh, God, this is not, and like,
stabbed in the head.
Yeah. Use a dice six.
By the way, you should probably mention, what's the website called? Dark? Or Black Tree Designs?
You mean BTD Miniatures? Black Tree Design?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're having a 50% off sale.
Pretty much on all the miniatures, including their Doctor Who minis.
It's so tempting just to buy lots of monsters for D&D. It's very tempting.
I had my debit card revoked. My wife has it because of that.
Oh, yes. I picked up a few Fat Dragon Games sets again. I got the Keep, the Cemetery, the Stables, and Blacksmiths, which also comes with some other stuff.
By the way.
And the Dragonshire Basic set.
While I have it, I've got full color ink cartridges if you need to print off stuff in color and bring it over because they're just going to dry up because I don't use the ink printer anymore.
Woo-hoo.
And they cost me $100 frickin' bucks for the five colors.
Well, there you go.
So they better be used, damn it.
Yes.
Yeah, but the Black Tree Design site, everything's 50% off, so if you need some, you know, models.
I found out real quick the Aaliyah Tools. I've released a new product of, they have 2-inch magnetic circles instead of 1-inch ones for large creatures.
Sweet.
So I ordered a few of those.
I can't wait till I get to use my Battle Mat, though.
Well, yes. I'm hoping this.
I was looking forward to using mine at Deadlands and never
got used.
No battle. You know.
Well, I'm hoping to start up my.
It was all stupid role playing.
My Thoth game so that I can finish it.
Yes, that would be nice.
Well,
because I know we're about to invade a castle, so
I'll listen in on that one. But I'm so far out of that one. There's just a lot of people in the group that I don't know.
Yeah,
the
castle invasion may have happened while you weren't playing your characters.
Excellent. Did I gain any XP?
I haven't decided yet.
Come on.
I just can't wait till you actually, you know, run that Star Wars game again because the
yes, and I've been informed I must run my Mutants and Masterminds again for people. So.
Yes, because Rachel wasn't able to do it, and I wasn't
there
because
there.
I was sick.
Jeremy didn't play.
I'm also going to do an Indiana Jones
Savage World
at some point.
Sweet.
I don't want to play in that one.
Yep,
I'd
do that.
Gonna be
I'd buy that for $1. Anyway, we should probably wrap that up.
Yeah. So that's it for what we're into right now, and we're going to move on.
We're into a lot more, but we don't have enough time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't really have time.
We have a time machine.
The review.
Doing a review.
Yes. Go for your review.
Now, I've got to say, from 3.5, I was very, very disappointed in Eberron.
There's a reason why I call it Evercraft.
I was very disappointed.
Ever suck.
It just seemed kind of... I don't know. There was something wrong with it.
Well, the fact that it was set up as a thing for people to send in...
Easy.
Well, people were supposed to send in their game environments, their game worlds and stuff, in a contest, people who hadn't been published, and they were going to publish one of them. and the game system
that was published. And then they changed the rules.
Was the game system, this game system that was published, was published by someone who actually had work published before, which pissed off everybody.
Though, in the fine print, I think they actually said they would...
Yeah, probably, but I was still annoyed, because Eberron was dumb. I didn't like Eberron. I still don't like Eberron. I like the Warforged, but that's about it.
Now, I gotta say, though, it has come a long way. I've been reading through...
What does this have to do with Dark Sun? Nothing?
Oh. Nothing? Okay, I'm gonna...
My review. So, I've been reading the Eberron campaign guide. Now, is it the world that I would create? No, it's got some weirdness that I don't dislike. It just isn't things that I necessarily would...
And this is something you want to camp on, right? Yeah.
But the thing I like about it is how it's organized. I do like how it's organized. Basically, it's organized very, very simply so that it lists all the different kingdoms with a nice little description, with history checks, religion checks, with settlements, with important NPCs. And it's broken down basically between adventures, how we can kind of adventure in the world of Eberron and some of the different themes. The main place they start people, the City of Towers, the Five Nations, one of their big continents, and one of the continents beyond that. Then what's called the Dragonmark Houses. Then the gods and cosmology. And then some new monsters. So I really like how it's organized. And not to mention the map is pretty sweet. And the Warforged are actually nice. I still think Shifters are fairly stupid. But whatever. So I've got to say, from 3.5, it's come a long ways. It's got some interesting stuff in it. I don't know if it was a book I would buy.
Right.
I mean, I want it, so that's cool. It's nice. Like most of the 4th ed D&D games, it's a nice book.
I'm looking forward to their redo of Dark Sun, if it's going to be that nice. I'm totally on that. Like, ugly on an ape.
After seeing this...
Ugly on the Nate?
Ugly on an ape.
After seeing this, at some point in the future, probably pick up the Forgotten Realms...
No, I'm a jackass. I'm not that much
campaign's guide. Because I have the player's guide now.
Yeah. Well, what their plan is they're releasing players guides and campaign guides. The campaign guide is geared towards GMs.
Yeah.
And the player's guide is obviously towards the players. And then they also are releasing an adventure, and that's it.
Yeah. And this Eberron campaign guide is pretty good. If you like Eberron, that's fine. This is a nice book. Like I said, it's made me want to go out and buy the Forgotten Realms campaign guide. Because it's just a nice book. And I will probably pick up the Dark Sun. I'm liking what they're doing with the small packs of basically two books. Not a box set, 30 box sets, just two books. Players, campaign guide. That's just nice.
Yes.
And I'm hoping that if they continue with this quality, I mean, artwork is not bad.
Yeah.
Which is more than I can say for the first PHP 4th edition came out with.
And the full, the full map in the back and things. So,
I didn't see that. That's
cool. That's nice.
That is. I haven't even taken it out yet, but
I don't know if they have that for the.
They do that.
Don't have that for the 4th ed book.
Well, no. There isn't an actual setting for the core 4th edition stuff.
There used to be, wasn't it Mystara or something?
It was Greyhawk.
Way back when.
It used to be Greyhawk.
Now, real quick, I have a question though. So people are angry about Forgotten Realms?
Apparently.
Yes.
Why?
Spell Plague.
But the Spell Plague had character.
Yeah, but WotC went in and... Well, people were pissed off. I don't care. I don't like Forgotten Realms anyway. But what people got pissed off about was that they changed it. Is that they went in and they changed stuff. And they said... people got pissed off because they went in, they progressed the story, they did all this, and they messed up everything that they were familiar with. And it's, you know, just the goobers out there going...
Nerd race, you know. Fell into the elemental plane. That is awesome.
Oh, it's like they're preaching to the choir. I'm fine with change. You know, I am looking forward to see what they do with Dark Sun. I am so looking forward to see how they change Dark Sun and what cool crap they do.
Well, I can say one thing about those people who are bitching about the fact that they changed the system, they updated this progressive story. They would never get anywhere in Shadowrun the funny thing is with Shadowrun, every year that progresses in our calendar year, mm-hmm. the calendar year progresses in the Shadowrun game
yep,
world.
Yep.
So like right now, it started off at 2075 for 4th Ed. It's up to 2079 now for the expansion books and stuff. It progresses. Yep. Time progresses. Things change, too.
That is one thing I have to say about
change
the
Shadowrun
campaign guide.
Usually.
This is built for change.
Right.
That it really is. So... Am I an Eberron fan? No. If somebody were to throw down an Eberron game, you know, I might play. I'm not going to run one. I may decide to use some of the elements out of this book. And it's just for a read.
It's source material.
It's a good read.
I would say buy the PDF. Oh, wait, you can't.
You can't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Suckage.
Anyway.
So that's my short little review. I'll probably have another review next time of one of the other books.
All right, okay.
I hope to have a review of actually at least one of the two books for
Earthdawn.
But see this whole section here? It's 82 pages. That's all just background stuff. That's not even related to the game stuff.
That's that's an old FASA game for you.
And the decks, look how small the text is on the page.
That's why when I read these suckers, I don't read them from front to back. I skip around.
Yeah.
I just go I go.
I'm going to have to. I mean, I've read all the main rules.
That's the lovely review.
Yeah, I've read
all. The Vorpal Network and the Gamer's Haven. Proudly present A Thousand Monkeys production of a Monty Cook adventure. Tolus, the Knight of Dissolution. An adventure for Dungeons & Dragons 4th edition. Following the threads of a hidden conspiracy, six heroes find themselves up against insane cultists, wild chaos magic, and horrors from the primordial days of the world. Urban intrigue, dungeon exploration, and high action span the grand city of Tolus, the city by the spire. Join these heroes as they explore a former brothel, the laboratory of the dreaded surgeon in shadows, and even secret temples of chaos cults. Can these intrepid adventurers stave off the night of dissolution? A dark time long foretold when the slumbering lords of chaos will awaken in their hidden lairs deep below Tolus and bring catastrophe to the world.
We're back with lovely Random Encounters. And let me go ahead and get our emails up.
Do we have a lot this time?
Fair amount. I had a Stuart Crump email me.
Stuart Crump?
Stuart Crump.
Cool last name. Yeah.
And asking if we could help him out. He loves the music used for the titles of Kingdom of Thoth and was wondering where we found it, as I'd like to use it as introduction music to let players know the game is starting. I actually got that music off of a website called SmartSound/music. And it is license-free music, and it costs money to actually buy it, but you can play it for free off of their website. And it is, I believe, the March Forward. Yeah, March Forward on their Cinematic Excellence disc. Yes.
That's a cool song. What's that for? Which game?
The Kingdom of Thoth game.
Wow.
And then I like them because they're about 20 seconds long or 15 seconds long, and then they come to an end.
Yeah. Well, you already know what my theme song is for my 3.5 game, but we can't use it for licensing reasons.
But, Stu, that is where I got it, and I sent him the link for it. But the smartsound.com, it's a cool little site. And Jeremy is now listening to the
smart sound.
The smart sound stuff, yes. Let me see here.
So I can check this out site at some point in time. Smartsound.com. Yeah, I'm not going to remember that.
Yes.
I will have slept since you said that, and I won't remember
you
that.
Don't see
got it. An email from Galashi. Galashi1@gmail.com. It said, just listen to episode 52, and wow. There was a lot of criticism for Deadlands, and he's talking, of course, of episode 53, not 52. There was no 52. I personally think that the gritty and brutal reality is one of the great parts of the game. Of course, I'm not saying kill the players.
Kill the players!
That's not a good mindset for anything other than the Tomb of Horrors, which, incidentally, they are putting out a fourth edition, Tomb of Horrors, next year. It is the last adventure, as far as I know, in their epic tier.
They just needed to do Dragon Mountain.
Who knows? However, it's sometimes good to show jumping into a situation where you are grotesquely outnumbered without a stellar plan is going to result in injury, which is what I think you do well as a marshal. Gamer's Haven, in one word, phenomenal.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much.
Wow, a moment of feeling love. Moment passed. Okay.
Yes, it's gone now. Yes, thank you very much for that, and I have yet to kill all the players. Yet, being the operative term.
At least you have a goal to strive towards.
Yes. I got an email from Tracy Barnett. I found your actual play feeds on iTunes about 2 months ago and began listening to the 3.5 edition campaigns as they were taking place. Not long into the listening, I got really antsy to play. I had stopped hanging out with the guys I used to game with and didn't think I'd have the chance to play much again. My wife convinced me to ask some of my family members, and we've been playing for almost 2 months now. It's been awesome. I'm really happy to have Gamer's Haven to games to listen to for inspiration. Speaking of which, Pinnacle Games has you guys to thank for my coming purchases of every piece of Deadlands Reloaded material that they have published, and likely some of the original stuff as well. I've never played any system but D&D 3.0 and 3.5 and 4E. And after I listened through all of your game sessions under those systems, I started your Deadlands campaign. In addition to your guys being very entertaining to listen to, the setting is extremely cool. Once I have some more free time in a few months, I'm going to be running a Deadlands campaign, and it's all thanks to you guys. It's funny, but after listening to the various sessions, especially Deadlands and the Wizards College, you get to feel like you know the party and a little bit about the players behind the characters. When one of them is missing, you really notice it. When Michael finally made it back to college game, I smiled really widely, because Saucy is a lot of fun to listen to. By the same token, I hope that Nathan is able to make it back into the Deadlands game so Connor can come back to life again.
Yeah, I'm working on that. I gotta get healthy first.
You have a fan. Anyway, I just wanted to thank you guys for the excellent work that you do. If you're at all interested, I hope to get a Deadlands site up and running as a start to plan my campaign. I'll send you the link once it's ready if you want to see what someone else is doing with the setting. Thanks again, Tracy from Mount Gilead, Ohio.
Or you wouldn't Gilead. Be a fan if you really knew me, trust me.
Yeah, well, we hate him.
Yeah, they only come over because they love my wife. My wife's awesome. I'm a douche.
And I emailed him back, and I said thanks, but if you want to tell Pinnacle that it's because of us you're buying their product, that would be nice.
Yeah, because maybe they'll say...
Because maybe they'll be like, hey, you got through with that.
Yeah. More than likely not, but, you know,
yes,
any sort
that.
Of lip service we can get, you know.
I got an email from Alan Billings. A few sessions ago in Gamer's Haven number 47, you were talking about a series of fantasy stories that had a thief who tried to steal from a noble. He was caught and then killed by having the noble run a sword into his chest.
Yeah.
The actual story was the first book of the Guardians of Flame series.
Thank you.
Done by Joel Rosenberg.
Vicious series.
But instead of a sword, the thief Jason was killed by the thief being run through with a spear.
And he was unarmed, if I remember correctly.
It's been from your literally minded listener, Alan Billings.
Thank you, Aaron.
Alan,
I'm sorry. Thank you, Alan. I was like,
well, yeah, he was killed by one of the guards.
Yeah, trying to get away from the guards. And if I remember correctly, he was one-armed.
Yeah.
Because they were actually playing characters and got sucked into the world.
They did.
It was interesting.
They introduced gunpowder at some point. It's funny. One guy's an engineer.
That's great.
Not for the game. Anymore.
All right, I got an email from Josh Gerunink. I'm not going to even attempt to butcher your last name, Josh.
Sorry.
Well, okay, I just did attempt to butcher your last name, so I'm not going to attempt to butcher it anymore. said, "Hey, I've been following your crew, starting with the Keep on the Shadowfell podcast, and you're a fun bunch. Thanks for the good times. I'm just curious, do you have forums? The forums link on your site hasn't worked in quite some time, and now the Vorpal Network site in general is defaulted to the Bluehost page. Our forums are located on the Vorpal Network site, and the Vorpal Network site is currently being revised and should literally any time now, as far as I know, will be up and running with a new, much more resilient system. So, I unfortunately haven't had any updates from the people in the know about this. So, I'd say keep checking VorpalNetwork.com to see when the page goes up. I'll try to get a word out on the feed when it does pop up. So, that's about it with that one. Then we got, another email from Andrew Wilson. Just wanted to say that CantCon has set me way back in completing the absorption of all your actual play podcasts. Not that I'm complaining, but man, just when I thought I'd be done soon. Yeah, we did kind of release 36 hours of actual play in, one day. Also, I'm almost finished with a product for Silent 7 Games called Huckstropy for D&D 4th Edition, which I'll instantly say is available now at rpgnow.com, so go to our website and go through our website to get it. It was partially inspired by the Huckster from Deadlands, from listening to your podcasts. Basically, it's Dungeons & Dragons Gambit, throwing energy-infused cards. If you... It's a PDF only. I'm going to take a look at it when I have the time. Apparently, Andrew says his podcast listening time has been cut, so it doesn't make it easier. You can look at a preview copy of Huckstropy through silent77.com. That's silent numeral 7 and then SEVEN.com.
What is it called? Huckster what?
Huckstropy. HUXTROPY. And Huckstropy. And it's based on the Huckster stuff.
Class,
so.
Yeah. Which is a really cool class.
And then finally...
Huckstropy. Okay.
Yes.
$3.99.
Mm-hmm.
Not expensive.
No. It's very decently priced. We have another email from one of our favorite names, Sanjian Unkara. Jason, but we just like Sanjian. So just a few questions. What are you guys recording your podcasts on? And two, I was looking for the luck roll you guys have used from time to time. I couldn't find it. Is it something from other than the Player's Handbook? I had more, but I can't remember what it is right now, so we'll have to wait until later.
The luck roll, you mean the 3d6 luck roll?
Well,
actually,
real quick, for the actual play sessions, I use a Olympus Digital Voice Recorder model VN5200PC. It's about $70 at Radio Shack or Office Depot or Office Max, and it's worth every bloody penny. If you want to get an idea, it works great for stuff. We've also used an Olympus WS10, which is no longer available. It's not made anymore.
That's a nice one too, though.
Yes, but the VN is the upgrade. It's really nice. It has like 35 hours of good quality record time on it. To give you guys an idea, if you listen to our actual play shows, listen to the CantCon AD&D game. It was not recorded on the digital voice recorder. It was recorded on a regular MP3 recorder.
Actually, haven't listened to the Shadowrunner.
Or listen to the Shadowrunner Call of Cthulhu. All the other stuff was recorded on the digital voice recorder, and you can definitely tell the difference.
Yeah, you should hear the unedited feeds of the Call of Cthulhu and the Shadowrun game.
Yeah.
There's a high pitched squeal in the background.
Uh-huh.
It was horrible.
And
god awful.
If you're looking into recording your games and releasing them, I highly recommend investing in a digital voice recorder. It's quick, it's easy, and it sounds good.
Yeah.
What I'd also say, as far as our regular show, the show we're doing right now, we actually have mic stands and a Behringer Eurotrack UB802 mixer that we use. So,
a standard four-channel mixer.
Yeah, it's a standard four-channel mixer, and Behringer's pretty good. Don't buy the one at Radio Shack, it sucks.
Yeah, I thought we just used Magic.
And we use Magic, yes.
Didn't we get that from Funky Monkey?
And some... But this? No, we got it from musiciansfriend.com.
Okay.
Which is a Kansas City-based company.
Yeah. The luck roll.
Anyway, the luck roll, yes.
I don't remember where I first ran into that. The first time I can remember
Neither can I. Really, just
the first time, the place I can really remember running into it was in a game run by a gentleman by the name of Sam and Lawrence for Shadowrun. It was his way of doing luck. And I just started using it because it's easy. Everybody's got 3d6. And you were using it when I met you.
Yeah.
Jeremy,
I learned it from my brother.
But Jeremy uses it now somewhat, but Jeremy wasn't using it when I first met him. But this Sam guy, I have no idea where he got it from. He was gaming long before I was around.
I have no idea where the origin's for. But the basically, for those people who don't know about it, what it is you, for a luck roll, you roll 3d6, and if any ones you get are bad luck, and any sixes you get are good luck. Anything else is even.
Yeah. So that's where they
have even the hard way.
Ones cancel the sixes. One cancels a six. That sort of thing.
Yeah. You decide as a GM if you're rolling luck for the players, the players are rolling versus you, or if you're rolling for the monsters, or sometimes you're just rolling because.
Yeah, a lot of times I'll have them use make luck checks to see if they actually have ability to try something.
And it's just a method we use for basic luck of saying, is such and such there?
Because I don't make luck checks. It's one of those things where luck really does factor in when you make the check. So
I used to have a luck luck stat attribute.
Yeah,
but I didn't like it.
Well, it worked well for some people, but it didn't work well for others. Like I never could roll worth. Because the thing with your luck stat, it was roll 3d6, you kept what you got. There was no, you roll ones.
It's just it's just all up to chance.
Yeah, I got 4 always. And I was like the unluckiest bastard in the group. Mm-hmm. And it always came through. I'm the person that fell down the wells, got shot up into the air by a reverse gravity spell. All that crap.
Mm-hmm.
All that bad stuff always happened to me because my luck sucked.
Mm-hmm. So I can't tell you really where we got it, but that's what it is.
As far as I can tell, it's been around forever. Anybody that I know, someone who's been gaming since D&D came out, and they've always used it, and they've gamed since D&D first edition. So it's been around since then.
It's just a simple way of doing.
It's a very simple way of making a luck check. So
and finally, we got an email from our good friend David Griffin, the one who insists I'm sadistic, but who is actually a very, very nice gentleman.
Yeah.
He says, sounds like you had at least as much fun at your con as I did at mine. And he went to Gen Con, the bastard. I played some good space tactical games and a few role-playing games, including a couple of Living Forgotten Realms games that I thought were pretty good. My last session I got punjarred. By the RPGA's Ultimate Delve, whose description seemed to indicate a 4E RPG adventure, but which actually turned out to be a zero role-playing D&D miniatures-like game designed to test ultra-optimized characters against monsters they had little hope of defeating in timed encounters with no rest. Yeah, that sounds like Punjar. I'm sure it must be fun for someone, but I'm not sure who. Before I left, our group played a session of World of Darkness, new version, us against the zombies, and had a good time. After so much D&D, it was good to get my big gun in my hands again, so keep up the good work.
We don't really want to know about your gun.
Yeah, we don't want to know about any of those phallic things. Yes.
I downloaded that Dude's Huts RPG after buying it from RPG.
Okay. Beforehand. Did you buy it through our website?
I did.
Nice. So we get credit for that.
So
I mean, for $4, I'm like, I should get myself a birthday present.
I may have to go and buy it too. I've got $4.
I mean, it's from a fan, and I was like,
yeah. If we're his first couple sales, hey, cool. More power to him.
Yep. All right. Account credit 39 cents.
Now, unfortunately, it's running really, really freaking slow on my.
It's that PDF. I take it.
Yeah.
Well, if you have access to my printer, if you don't have access to my printer, let me know. I'll get it set up for you, and you can print it off if you want to read a actual hard copy.
It's 19... The book itself is 19 pages.
Oh, no. I have a laser printer. I've got 5,000 pages per toner cartridge.
Oh, no.
I'm going
Heaven
to
for
die.
Me. But anyway, that's it for the emails we had. Want to touch real quick on... what's going on in our gaming circles. I think, Jeremy, you're trying to get your Thoth game back up and running. Do you know when you're trying to do that?
Sorry.
I'm hopefully soon.
Hopefully soon. Not like a week from this Saturday?
A week from this Saturday would be good.
Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Say no more.
I guess we could try. I don't have anything planned yet.
Yeah. For those of you listeners who aren't familiar, we do have an actual play section on the website that we've obviously talked about and whatnot, and it is still there. It is still very popular. The Deadlands game is still running, and is I have plans on running it until it's done. The Wizards College game, I think, has maybe 3 or 4 sessions left.
That's what Andre says.
That's what Andre says, and I think after that, I've been, I think, enlisted to run a 4th edition thing.
Yes, an intro to 4th edition, Rachel wants to play.
What I think I'm going to do is actually run Keep on the Shadowfell for you guys, so.
Okay. What's the printer's name? Actually, it's HWL.
Anyway, let's see.
Yep,
all right. And so, for those people who listen to our actual play stuff, there is my brother did run Keep on the Shadowfell for us, and now I'm going to run it with a completely different group. So, I think that will be interesting to see how that pans out. So,
and if I have these Urkdon books read enough that I have the basis of the rules down, after he runs his 4th-set game, I may actually try running an Urkdon game.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because.
And all of these, cool. All of these will be recorded, of course. And I think Jeremy has on the horizon a Thunder Rift.
Yes.
At some point. So,
I will go back to that. Game.
So we've got Tolus Evolved is still running, and I think we'll continue to run for a bit. There is some talk, and we're sort of seeing if people are interested in if people want us to continue, want our Sunday group to continue the Keep on the Shadowfell adventure path and go with. What is the next one? It's Assault on something.
Thunder Spire.
No, that's the 3rd one. No, Assault on Thunder Spire. Thunder Spire Labyrinth. I can't remember all of them, but the next one in the line and then the 3rd one. So we'll see if people are interested in that. I think one option, since Cawen, my character, died in the Shadowfell game, that I might run that for the Sunday group, and then maybe Jeremy will run the 3rd part. I don't know. We'll see.
Does that mean my halfling has to die?
No. Maybe. He gets eaten by Demogorgon.
Don't go punch Demogorgon in the stomach.
Yes, well, Common got to go tell Orcus that he was a poofter. So.
Who did?
My character. but no, I will be running... Keep on the Shadow Run for you guys, and keep on the Shadowfell. Lots of shadows going around. Keep on the Shadowfell for the Saturday Night Crew after Wizards College is done. So I hope you guys enjoy that. So
I'm sure we will. It'll also give us a basis of actually playing in a 4th ed game because none of us here.
And it's a pre-gen thing, so I will have a much easier time of getting that done with my school schedule. So.
Oh hell yeah. We will still need to make characters for it, though.
Yes, right? Yes. Okay. I think we'll have a character creation.
Well, they have pre-gen.
Hoedown, you know.
Yeah.
They're wrong.
We're not going to use those. We're going to make some. You guys can make... It'll be first-level characters who make whatever characters you want, so...
I use my license to get the Savage World and the 4th Ed D&D.
I have a D&D Insider account, you can use that to...
Sweet, yeah, that'd
to
be great.
Update... Or get the character builder if you want. Really want it.
I don't want the character builder. That one looks much better than what I've seen of the D&D one. I don't know how the D&D one works. I haven't used
it. It's both have their pluses and minuses.
They're both broken in a certain way.
I mean, it depends on what you get used to. I like aspects of one and aspects of the other. I wish I could, you know, combine them like Transformers or Voltron or something, you know.
I need to get another license for Hero Lab so I can get the, I've got Mutants and Masterminds and Savage Worlds. I need a D&D 3.5 slash Pathfinder.
Well, the Pathfinder is a separate one.
Oh, is the Pathfinder a separate one?
The Pathfinder RPG is a separate license.
I have to wait until more Pathfinder books come out before buying one. I'm still a little leery on that. The beta was really nice. It was interesting. It's an interesting setting. They took like the best parts that I liked that I read of 4th Ed and all the stuff that I loved about 3.5 and combined them together. But,
into 3.75.
Well,
3.75!
And their lawyers are knocking on our front door.
3.75?
3.75, yes. I love the First Amendment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But,
no, 3.75.
Yeah, it seems really well done. But yeah, essentially that's exactly how I see it, is it's the literal evolution of 3.5.
Right.
It went in a different direction from 4th Ed.
So it's going up 0.25, so the next edition is 4th Ed.
Exactly. Yeah. And as far as CantCon is, I think I mentioned CantCon was a success, and we're going to look at doing another CantCon in July of next year, since I plan on going to Gen Con. So.
Bigger, faster, stronger.
Yes, better than the original. We have the technology. So that's really all that we have for this lovely episode, episode 54 of the Gamers Haven podcast. So, yeah. Thanks for listening, and tune back in and stuff, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
If you don't, we'll send Mansquito to your house.
Trust me,
Mansquito in your house sucks, because he raids your fridge.
And drinks all your beer.
And orders expensive pay-per-view.
He also is a toilet trainer. Yeah.
There is that. Yeah.
But he drinks all your
and
beer.
And he's very anxious to get away from Mansquita.
I don't understand why. She seems like such a nice girl.
She's also not toilet trained, and that's the problem.
That's why we let them out.
Yeah.
And they
but I guess she is the real bloodsucker, though, isn't she? Considering only female mosquitoes are bloodsuckers.
That's true, yes. Anyway, thanks
there
for listening.
There's a random bit of useless scientific knowledge for the end of the show.
Yes, yes. And now you know. And knowing is half the battle.
This concludes the broadcast from World Control.
You've been listening to the Gamers Haven podcast. This has been a Thousand Monkeys production. You can find us on the web at www.canadiancrusaders.com. You can email the show at thousandmonkeysproductions@gmail.com. Visit our website to find our episode archives, our actual play, our main feed, as well as promos, links, and a gallery. You'll also find our RPG Now Pick of the Week, our Amazon Pick of the Week, and you can even go through some of our snippet review episodes. We are also shameless, and if you wish to donate some money to the wonderful Gen Con Fund, or just give money to the show in general, there is also a donate button on our site via PayPal. So visit our website at www.canadiancrusaders.com. The Gamers Haven is part of the Vorpal Network. The Gamers Haven podcast and Thousand Monkeys Productions and CantCon are copyright by Ethan Parker. Gamers Haven is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 3.0 United States license, some rights reserved. Some music for the show is provided by Joe Hero Band at joehero.com. Other music is used with permission under license. Just like Bruce Campbell.